1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had suffered and been shamefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory.
Chris, thank you very much. 10 years ago, Forbes magazine in America, it's a business magazine, they published an article called 15 Explosively Growing Companies to Watch This Year. These businesses were all expanding exponentially at the time, and Forbes predicted they'd all become household names that would change the world. So 10 years on, how did the hot new startups get on? Number one on their list was Mover. That got taken over by Microsoft. Change.org was number two. They're doing quite well. They do online petitions, but there's not a lot of money in online petitions, so I'm not sure Forbes magazine would be impressed. Number three, I liked Dog Vacay. Their business model was if you're going on holiday, don't send your dog to a kennel, send your dog on a holiday. And we'll send you a picture every day of how your dog is enjoying it. That's nice, isn't it? Sadly, Dog Vacay is no longer with us. Number four and five are nowhere either, and they're too boring to mention. Six is Veggie Grill. That was supposed to be the vegan answer to McDonald's. They had 30 outlets on the west coast of America. Last year, closed half of them due to declining lunchtime traffic. Seventh on Forbes' list of hot new companies, Snapchat, anyone heard of that one? Still not, lots of blank faces. No, it's a young person's thing, okay? They use it, and they're worth $17 billion, over 400 million users. But, of course, as soon as people my age start using it, the kids all move on to something else. Anyway, they were all radical, dynamic startups. But how you start is less important than whether you keep going. 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul, Silvanus, Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. Thessalonica, this strategic city in the Roman Empire where East meets West. Thessalonica Church, a startup church. Paul, the missionary, he would typically go back to churches that he started to strengthen and encourage them, because how you start is one thing. Would they keep growing in their faith? That's another thing. But Paul wasn't able to get back to check in on this new church personally, and so we learn in the letter 3, verse 2, he sent Timothy to establish and exhort them in their faith. 3, verse 5, fear about their faith. And 3, verse 8, now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. That's his purpose for them. Maybe the Elton John song, I'm Still Standing, should be the theme for this series. Do you know it, Carson? He's pretending he hasn't heard of Elton John. Oh, well. Thessalonica church, lovely little startup ministry, will they still be standing fast in the faith in Jesus in the end, though? Will we? There is still a church in Thessalonica, that's it, the Evangelical Church of Thessalonica, next to some very dodgy-looking car park. Oh, that's the weather forecast. I got distracted and looked at the... That's the weather forecast for Thessaloniki this week. And then our weather forecast is that. Back to theirs. Yeah, lovely. I think a little research trip for me to Thessaloniki this week. I think that would be a helpful thing, wouldn't it? Anyway, much more important than the weather there is the fact that there's still this church 2,000 years on. And the reason that's worth celebrating is because you can't take that for granted. Houston Church, we were a start-up church 14 years ago. Will we stay standing firm in Jesus? Each of us personally, do you know the stats on students who were keen Christian union members and then nowhere spiritually a decade later? Tragic. New life stage, they drop off. Many of you are in a new life stage right now. Have you thought about the fact that spiritually that's a vulnerable time? So I was keen for Jesus in youth group. Shall I be at university? I was keen at university. Shall I be at work? I was keen as a young worker. Foot off the gas now that family or other responsibilities are crowding in. Pressure in here and out there in the world to just go with the flow. The Thessalonians felt it. And really sadly, I could match Forbes' list of 15 with the pictures of 15 people who were keen church family members here 10 years ago. Started well in the faith. Now nowhere spiritually. But we shouldn't panic because the tone of this letter, it's so positive. Lots to give thanks for about them then, as there is about us now. 1 Thessalonians is God through Paul's medicine to keep us standing fast. Are you shaky, flaky, firm in the faith and going well? Well, all believers need this encouragement, whether it's a particular crisis of faith moment or not. And it's so interesting where 1 Thessalonians begins. And this is one reason, by the way, why we read through whole books of the Bible chapter by chapter. The Bible's so much more interesting than Kev. And I realize you didn't need to come to church to know that. But if you said to me, give me your top 5 tips to encourage a church to keep standing firm, 3 of the 5 chapters basically looking backwards with thanks, I'm not sure I'd have come up with that. And his point is, of course you've got to stand fast because the living God has been at work among you in power, partly the deep conviction and change in you Thessalonians. It can only be a God thing, the Christian church. That was chapter 1. And now chapter 2, us missionary apostles, says Paul, God stuff going on in us as well. I don't know if you think about your relationship with Paul and the other apostles. If you want to discredit Christianity, can I recommend a decapitation strategy? Don't focus too much on your Christian friend. Concentrate on discrediting the apostles. Because if you can do that, then you've cut off at source anything that claims to be the power of God. If we are convinced their gospel truly was God's gospel, reasons to stand fast in it? And actually more on why we need to listen to these verses, because the ministry Paul describes in 2:1-12 is the ongoing ministry that the church needs. He'll talk about leaders in chapter 5 who labor, admonish, work. In other words, they imitate him here in chapter 2. And then he talks about all of them admonishing, encouraging, helping the weak. In other words, they'll stand fast when they're all following the model of authentic ministry set out here. Looking for a church new to London? Here's the checklist. Will they minister to you like this? Are you one of the ministers of Houston Church? All of us are. We'll stand fast when we're all ministering in this Spirit of God-empowered way. 2, verse 1 then, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain." It really was a God thing at work in you and at work in us. First then, and it's really just one point today, that the apostles' gospel ministry really is God at work. Three times in our verses, gospel of God, gospel of God, stand firm in the gospel of God, because it's not a human construct. It's a God thing. And then five fours that explain why you can be sure it's of divine origin. Four, they had boldness to declare it in affliction. Verse 2. "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict." Too right he had been shamefully treated at Philippi. Acts 16 tells us he was stripped, flogged, beaten, feet in the stocks. And after it was all over, Paul said, "Whew, time for a sabbatical, I think." No. He said, "Let's head to Thessalonica, but hit the beach. Hear the weather there's lovely this time of year." No. He actually said, "We will keep telling the gospel, even if it does all kick off again." See, his visit was not in vain, because he just kept doing his thing. And it wasn't that he had the chip missing in his head that senses risk. He was bold, because this was the gospel of God. You don't take that stripping and beating for fake news. Sure, it divides communities, the gospel. But when you know it's the power of God. And that's the story of most of the other apostles, mocked, martyred, and they went on boldly proclaiming. You don't do that for a scam. You do it when the living and true God is underwriting the project. His gospel. Stand fast in it. "For we were God-approved trustees on a mission to please him." Verse 3. "For our appeal doesn't spring for error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." It's kind of the audience of one thing. It's an even bigger mindset shift, though. Entrusted. He's a trustee. When you're a trustee, you might be responsible for a lot of resources. They're not yours, though. So I was a trustee once when I was a young trainee solicitor. We were involved in a case where the owner of a ship was in a pay dispute with the crew. They hadn't been given their wages and they were refusing to get off the ship. Quite suddenly, the owner decided to settle. He said, "Here's $50,000, get them off the ship tonight." And I was the one sent on the train with the sports bag, full of all the notes of cash. It really was the high point of my legal career, I have to tell you. But imagine for a moment I'd said, "Hey, I've got the sports bag of cash, forget the job. Let's blow the money on a weekend at a smart London hotel." Or even, you know, if I dipped into a tiny bit of it to upgrade my train ticket to first class and have a good dinner on my way to the boat, that would have been totally inappropriate use of these resources which I'd been approved to hold on trust. But they weren't mine. Paul's a trustee of the gospel. It's not his to tweak or take away a tiny bit from just because it would make his life more convenient. Yeah, audience of one, because the one owns the thing that he has made his ministers trustees of. Doesn't ultimately matter what anyone else thinks of my presentation of the gospel. Does the owner of the gospel think I've stewarded his property well? See, be very suspicious of the objective truth of anything, actually, if its driving aim is to please you. You might change your mind about what pleases you as you go through life, or just based on what mood you were in when you got out of bed. You can see that Paul's concern was protecting the owner's thing when you remember what he was preaching. Quite rude to tell people they're worshipping idols, that they've got their religion wrong? Well, you do that when you hold on trust a God-given gospel that's not yours to tamper with. And then we came to nurture and to care, not to take and demand. See, pleasing God first cashes out as loving you full on. And I'm conscious that the parenting analogies here may be painful ones for some of us. They paint a picture, though, of gospel workers who don't just deliver God's message. They are like God in their care. I mean, imagine a mum on the take, needy for affirmation, greedy for what the parental relationship benefits her. Of course, she's not in it for the glory of winning breastfeeder of the year. I don't think there is a competition for breastfeeder of the year. Don't come and tell me about it if there is one. But with the nursing mother, it's all give, give, give. Verse 7's beautiful, isn't it? Easy to picture Paul as a harsh man downloading hard theology in a grumpy way. He was like their mum, gentle, affectionate. This is a love letter, 1 Thessalonians. We gave you the gospel and we gave you ourselves. This is why he keeps saying, you know, all the way through here, you know, because we were right in amongst, not just teaching the Bible. This is about loving people. And we didn't burden or abuse. Verse 9, you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Paul talks elsewhere about the gospel worker deserving their wages. But when it comes to mission in a new place, he's not making a giving appeal in his evangelistic talks. Pay per preach? No. Determined not to be a burden. You hear of some of the celebrities, you know, they're quite particular, quite burdensome about their dressing room setups before they perform. So Mariah Carey apparently sometimes likes to be surrounded by 20 live kittens in her dress. At least they're live kittens. It'd be weird if she wanted dead ones, I suppose. Beyonce, she demands a very particular type of toilet seat. Keep the talent happy. Keep the preacher happy. No, the preacher working hard, not in any way to burden or abuse. This ministry is the real deal. And you see that in its fatherly exhortation, verse 11. You know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. See, healthy church leadership doesn't mean you never exhort or charge like a good dad. The encourage word is comfort. That's gentler. So interesting that the urging going on in a context of comfort on your side, arm round the shoulder sort of thing. Urging you to live a life worthy of God. Not telling you what to do in the detail. We'll see a life worthy of God means urging things like purity and love in 1 Thessalonians. Not telling people who to marry or where to live. Leaders who do that in your life are claiming a measure of authority that Paul doesn't. God doesn't. Gives you choices in a godly way. Do you know, it's actually Jesus being described in these verses. And actually the Thessalonians would confirm that if we were able to go back and talk to them, that Paul and co really were like this. That's why you can be sure this ministry is a God thing. God's gospel delivered with all the beautiful, challenging, serving, not being served characteristics of God's Christ. Well, so what then as we start to land this? First assurance. We said last week the Christian gospel has changed the world. The church is a supernatural miracle, but it's not surprising because it's produced by a supernatural gospel. Paul and them came with, against all the odds, spirit-filled boldness, Christ-like, and a message that only God would come up with. People pleasers would never have made this up. if we're convinced that what was happening through these apostles really was God at work in power, then there's a chance that we'll stand firm in their gospel. And then I've said thanks because we're still in the thanks section. You notice that in 2 verse 13, he says, we also give thanks for. This is all thanks, this section. And at the end of 1 Thess, he tells them to keep giving thanks because staying strong in the gospel is a lot to do with how thankful we are. You're not going on about his own ministry to say, well done us. He's reminding them and us that what's come to us in this apostolic witness, this Bible of theirs, it's not a human book. So easy to be blasé that we have a Bible. Easy to take for granted that we have it. Be grumpy about the bits of Paul that we don't like. Well, praise God, they were committed, so committed to pleasing him, speaking him, being like him. You know. I wondered, have you known ministry along this model in your life? Because the last 2,000 years is the story of generation of, after generation of spirit-filled, godly ministers who took this undiluted and spread it around the place with the same kind of character and boldness. Bring it right home here. We did a review of our midweek groups recently. I'll say more about that actually at the next prayer nights. Things for us to work on for sure. But loads of comments about the deep care and love of leaders in those small groups. Thank the Lord for people ministering like this. Because this is the kind of ministry to seek out and to imitate. God keeps his people going well, not just starting well, when we all follow this model. So it's a great week if you're here looking for a church. Here's the Ofsted checklist as you go around looking at churches. Not about the quality of the coffee or the how comfy the seats are. Find ministry that keeps talking about the gospel even when it's unpopular. Or have they started talking about something else? Seek ministry that seeks to please God, not you. You know, I've been thinking about this. The best way I can serve you is not to seek to please you first. And the mark of that will be, what do we do with the Bible? Seek ministry in a place where you will be nurtured and known and served and where they urge you where necessary. They actually care about your godliness. I want to urge you now, if you're looking for a church, focus on seeking out these things for your spiritual survival. Some of us will have had deeply painful experiences of power abused in churches. Those can be scars for life. I'm sorry about that. I'm afraid unhealthy church leadership is nothing new. It's all the way through the Bible, which is partly why God wants us to be so clear about the real thing. This is exposing of people in my kind of job, you know, but I'm not downbeat about it because I want to lead like this. I want to love you better because this is the leadership that builds and keeps God's church. Hold us to this model, please. It really, really matters so that we weren't just a good startup. Actually, because we take the nurture and care aspect seriously, that's why we've set up the small groups. Anya and I could never kind of look after in this level of depth the number of people at Euston Church. Not that we don't want to be personally involved with you. Come and talk to me anytime. But I'd urge you to join one of those groups. Find a family and the kind of care described here, or trying to be that with the true gospel of God right at his heart. And in those groups, you be one of the ministers too, whether you're a leader or not. So interesting to me. I've just really spotted this in the last day. All of the instructions in the rest of the letter flow very directly from the portrait here. So gospel in affliction, pleasing God who tests hearts, be blameless, encourage each other, care, don't be a burden to others, urge. In other words, the authentic ministry that God uses in power to start churches through the apostles, he uses to keep churches going and growing as we get busy ministering. In other words, if you want Euston Church to be more like what we've just read here, tell us, but also keep being personally the change you want to see. Lovely church they were in Thessalonica. We are far from perfect here, but thank the Lord for every evidence of ministry like this all over this little family. Great start in so many ways. Stand fast in the Lord. Let's pray.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for revealing to us by your precious word that you are the only true and living God. Please soften our hard hearts to continue believing your word, to keep standing fast in your word to the very end, and to be convinced of your warning that your wrath is coming for all those who continue to reject you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for performing this miracle in opening our blind eyes to see the need for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we can now wait for Jesus' return with joyful hope instead of dread of the wrath that is coming. Father, as we begin this new week, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would please print the truths that we have heard this morning on our hearts. We pray that we would live and work in a manner that is worthy of our calling and our status, remembering that we are your children, citizens of your kingdom, dearly loved, kept, protected by you. We pray that in all areas of our life, we would seek to please you first, to behave, to speak, to make decisions that always honor you. And we please ask for boldness to share your gospel, your powerful gospel, with those around us, that they may turn to you before your Son returns. Father, we thank you for our church family, and we pray, please, that you would give us opportunities to urge and to encourage our brothers and sisters to keep standing fast in your word and to keep hoping in your faithful, steadfast love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, in a world that seems to be spinning out of control with wars and rumors of wars across every continent of this broken planet, we acknowledge that only you have the power to bring these conflicts to an end, and only your gospel can bring lasting peace. We ask, therefore, humbly for your mercy. We pray that your gospel would continue to be proclaimed, that lives would continue to be saved. We pray humbly for our Christian brothers and sisters living through these awful times and conflicts, and ask humbly, please, for your relief, for your protection and provision for them. Please give us a burden for our brothers and sisters and help us not to cease in praying for them and looking for ways to practically help them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the leadership you have placed over us in Euston Church. Thank you for the charge you have given them to teach us the word of God. Father, we thank you for Kevin, Sam, Dan and Jack as they preach each week, and we ask that you would keep their eyes fixed on you, seeking to please you and give you the glory rather than themselves or others. Please keep them and their families trusting the Lord Jesus in everything, and give them all wisdom and grace to lead our church family with godliness, faithfulness and love. Father, thank you too for all those involved in teaching your word in Bible studies, small groups, Sunday club, and one-to-ones and families. Father, we pray that you would help them to lead faithfully, teaching your word prayerfully and faithfully. Please give them a love for those in their groups and a real desire to see each person, big or small, grow in their love, knowledge and obedience to the Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we pray finally for those in our church family. We pray for Bernice and Han as they head back to Singapore. Thank you for them, for their love for this church family. And please be with them and help them as they settle back into Singapore life and keep them trusting in Jesus. We pray for those here today struggling in any way. for those unwell or saddened in body or mind, who are anxious about the days ahead, who are finding relationships or their current circumstances difficult. Please keep them trusting in your goodness and faithfulness, and please help and provide for them. And Father, help us to be a church family who are committed to caring for each other. Keep our eyes and hearts open to see those in any need. Help us to build each other up in Jesus till the day he returns. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.